right, thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. You are listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. It is a Thursday afternoon, and Dennis Rodkin is in the studio. He joins us most, well, not most Thursdays, half the Thursdays, right? Every other week, or half
of Thursdays. Let's get the math right. This is the business lunch.
Talk about real estate in Chicago. And, you know, one of the things we've talked about, home selling or home buying season and inventory and all of that stuff. And the availability of homes on the market right now is pretty low, right?
It really is. You know, that's affecting virtually everything about the real estate market right now is the very, very tight inventory. And one of the things that just came out on Monday is that as of last week, speaking only of single-family homes, not condos, there are fewer single-family homes on the market in Chicago than there have been at any time since the beginning of 2007.
So why is that?
Well, let me just say that that's the earliest the data is. So this number probably goes farther back than
Could go back to the Ice Ages.
Well, you know, there are two. Exactly. At any time since the Ice Age, there are two main reasons, Steve. One is that a lot of things get snapped up before they even go on the market because things are so hot in some neighborhoods of Chicago and so tight that people are getting, you know, making deals before something even goes on the market. But another, an important one, is that a lot of people cannot afford to put the house on the market because our recovery has been so slow. We have, just the other day, I reported that we are the 20th of 20 U.S. major cities. We're at the bottom of the list on price recovery. We have been at or near the bottom for 13 months in a row. So if I'm underwater or barely at the water level, it's very hard for me to put it on the market. So those two, both demand and supply, are constricted.
So we've talked about that, the idea that if you are going to sell your house for a loss maybe, the motivation just isn't there.
Isn't there, yeah. Maybe I'll add on to it. Maybe I'll just wait another year and see where things go.
And yet, if things are so hot, you would think the prices would be going up.
In certain neighborhoods, things are very hot. And we've talked about those neighborhoods, the Milwaukee Avenue corridor, all the hot zones on the near north side, on the north and northwest sides. Prices are going up really fast there, but we're a very large region. And price increases there do not outdo some of the price failures in the south side and south suburbs. There are neighborhoods, I think we've talked about this, where prices are still, home values are still below where they were in 2000.
Right. I mean, so my parents live in Manteno, Illinois, the bustling metropolis in northern Kankakee County. And so they just bought a duplex or condo or so, you know, one floor. And they did very well. I mean, they bought what they needed to buy. They sold their house very quickly.
Oh.
I mean, it seemed like it was a very sort of rapid transaction.
There are lots of places where that's happening. There are quite a few places where that's happening. One piece of the market where it's not happening is in the upper end, the over 2 million.
Right, right.
Real slow there. Whole lot of sales. I mean, the sales, the things that cross my desk in the $500,000 to $1 million range, selling in a few days in many cases, selling over the asking price. That's primarily in the city, but some of the affluent suburbs as well. If you price it right, I would imagine your parents didn't price it in a gouging way.
No.
Then it definitely sells quickly.
No, it was $69. They asked $69 for their condo.
And I'm surprised it didn't go faster.
But affordability too, right? We're seeing that sort of shrink in Lake and Cook County. Things are becoming, when you factor in all the numbers, it's right. Less affordable than it used to be.
It's less affordable than it used to be, in part because prices are going up, but also because wages aren't rising as fast as prices are rising.
I've seen that time and time again where they talk about home prices. Mm-hmm. There was a study out this week, or numbers, about how home prices have increased faster than the increase in wages, and that leaves someone behind.
That leaves me behind, yeah. And in some cities, in Denver, Portland, places like that, home prices are rising so fast that even the super hot tech jobs are losing some affordability. But here, our problem has been, as you know, an intractable unemployment situation. While we have a better employment situation than we did just a short time ago,
right,
we're still behind a lot of major cities. Wages don't grow. So as prices grow, a lot of people sort of lose touch. And it's been worst in Cook and Lake counties in our region.
All right. Affordability, you write, is measured by Realty Tracks Index, dropped 9% in McHenry County, 5% in DuPage County, 2% in Kane, and 1% in Will. So the further you get away, the better off you are.
Yeah, but dropped in the teens, dropped over 15% in Cook and Lake. Yeah, but the farther out, the less trouble there's been. Those aren't the hot zones, right? Things are really moving fast in downtown Chicago, as we've talked about, in certain near-in suburbs. And then as you get farther out, there's been more of a languishing in the market.
So is there a fix to this, or it's just sort
jobs,
of an
jobs,
observation?
Jobs.
Is it jobs, or is it opinion, or, you know, sort of a mental approach to jobs?
I do think there's I think we have one thing that hangs over our market is this perception that, you know, Chicago is in a Chicago and Illinois are in a really bad place, right? You and I talked about the fact that high-end people are thinking, well, geez, I don't want to invest in a big house
right now.
Because I don't know where the financial picture of the city and state will be in the near future. So I think a lot of it is sort of our, let's just call it our Chicago self-image right now. We've been battered financially.
Which is just
bad.
It's just mental. I mean, the city's a beautiful place. There are problems here, but it's a we are living in a wonderful place.
We live in a wonderful place, and you and I are both employed.
Right.
Right. The people who are not, the large numbers of people who are not, or who are underemployed, or who have just gone back to work after quite a long time off work, there are a lot of effects from that, but one big one is on the housing market.
1217, Dennis Rodkin and Steve Bertrand are both employed.
For now.
I'll check in at 1219. So let's flush the toilet. Let's go do this very quickly, this home in River Forest. The Sloan family, which makes sense to me. I think I've seen Sloan toilets, right?
You see them everywhere. You know, okay. Mr. Sloan, whose middle name was Elvis, I think it's important to say, in the early 1900s, invented a valve. Most toilets work with a tank, and when you flush, that tank of water has to empty.
Right.
What he created was something that works with water pressure. So if you've got a men's room in an office building where multiple people have to use it, they don't have to wait for the tank to refill.
Right.
So it's more efficient. He invented it. He built a house in River Forest. His company still exists, by the way. He is, of course, long gone. Built a house in River Forest that has 12 toilets in it. And as you saw in my story, the sellers of this house said that they didn't even know how many toilets there were. After they moved in, they open a door and they say, oh, my gosh, there's another one.
So, like, they think they're going to a coat closet and it's another
Toilet.
Water closet. Really.
Right. And another – oh, sorry, I stepped right on your punchline.
That's okay.
And there's a tunnel. And the house has a tunnel from the house to the guest house where they've built a wine room.
Wow.
This is quite a house. It's in River Forest.
And it's for sale. You can read more about that at
ChicagoBusiness.com.
Dennis Rodkin, great to talk to you again. I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Thanks, Steve.
You bet. You're listening to The Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. It's 1222. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. My name is Steve Bertrand. Thanks for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at Steve Bertrand or on Facebook as well, Steve Bertrand. I've got my own page. And Ian Scherer is here from CNET.com. Ian, welcome to the program. I'm sorry. I had you down there. Ian, welcome back to the Business Lunch.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now,
great.
Just like the Verizon guy.
All yes, exactly.
So you know, we've talked so much about the whole Apple thing and the FBI trying to break into the Apple phone and all of that, and turns out that they found their way into the Apple phone, and now I surmise there's a long list of phones that the government wants to break into, right?
Hundreds of them. There are phones that are in custody in many different places around the country who agents and different investigators have said they want to crack into for many reasons. It's drug smuggling, it's murder investigations, you name it, there's an Apple phone probably involved. And so now that the FBI found a way to hack into that iPhone that was used by the San Bernardino terrorist, they are going to use it now across the country. And of course, the most interesting part is they're not telling Apple how they're hacking into the phone.
Apple has asked for that, right? Apple said, hey, how'd you do this?
Well, of course, it's safe to assume that they've asked many times by this point. And the FBI, you know, they want to have this access. This is exactly what they wanted, is some way into the phone that they think will help them in their investigations. So now we see them doing this. There was just a story by the Associated Press on Wednesday that said that the FBI has approved a request from Arkansas to break into a phone that was involved in a murder investigation of a teenager. So we're probably going to see a lot more of this happening. And it's very interesting, of course, because half this country in surveys said that they supported the FBI forcing Apple to hack into the phone. And then the other half said that they were not supportive and that Apple should keep it safe. And Apple went on a huge media tour. We wrote about this a bunch on CNET, about how the CEO, Tim Cook, went on ABC, and he spoke to all sorts of different places talking about how it is extremely dangerous to create a hackable way into the phone, because even though he created it for the government, A, is really bad at holding on to secrets, which we all know, and B, it means that there's a way into the phone that despotic regimes and enemies and all sorts of other people, bad people out there, could use as well.
Well,
so now there's this thing out there that they're a little worried about.
Tribune wrote about the fact that there are a number of stories here in Chicago as well that where police want to get access to the phone. So there was this great effort to protect the encryption and all of that. Does that mean that's all out the window?
Well, it's not out the window entirely. Apple's still going to do it, and there were stories out there from the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal saying that the Apple's actually going to try and increase the encryption and the security in the phone. Apple did not confirm, but it's a safe bet that they will. And it makes sense in a lot of ways, because Apple has to be able to – they live and die by our trust in them. If I stop trusting Apple to protect my information in the phone, I'm going to stop buying their phones. And so that's a problem that a lot of people are grappling with, and it's part of why Apple has been fighting so hard not to give anyone a way in.
Right.
So odds are they're going to try and find a way to stop this, because they don't want the government to go around and say, hey, we can hack into any iPhone we want.
Apple phones, you know, that's all old news. It's all about Oculus and virtual reality now, right? No one's really going to have an iPhone. That's old news. So,
well, maybe.
The Final Four is coming up this week, right? And there's this connection with virtual reality. Can you tell me about that?
Sure. So we just found out that the Final Four are actually going to be streamed in virtual reality, which is not the first time that this has happened. We've seen a number of football games streamed in virtual reality already, and so this is kind of an extension of that.
Okay, so what does that mean? Because we're watching the game is reality. We're watching the reality of the game. What does virtual reality mean when it comes to
that? Imagine sitting on your couch anywhere in the world and plopping on this kind of bulbous headset onto your face and turning on the screen, and suddenly you see in front of you the view of the court from courtside. And you look to your left and you see the left of the court. You look to your right, you see the right. It's almost as if you were there.
You're seeing the ball players on the court.
Yes, and it's like you got the best seat in the house. And so part of what's really fascinating about virtual reality is that it tricks your brain into thinking you're actually there. So for a lot of people who are huge fans and maybe either don't have the money or the time to get on the court, they'll actually be able to sit courtside and watch the game happen. Now, it's interesting. I've watched a number of football games this way and basketball games. And what's interesting is that I primarily watch from home whenever I'm watching a game.
Right.
And I'm used to all of that information on the screen, you know, that tells you who has the ball and it tells you where the ball is and all that stuff. That isn't in virtual reality. It's as if you're sitting courtside. So for you, if you're a really hardcore fan who doesn't need that extra help, I'll admit I do, then this is one of those key things that people really will love.
Right.
And
but
so
if you
really
do need, but if you do need help, it might be trouble.
It may be. I mean, if you're not a hardcore sports enthusiast, you may be better off sticking to television. But these companies are just at the forefront and starting with this stuff. It's going to be going way harder, and they're going to be trying a lot more things as time goes on. And they're thinking about how do we make this accessible to everyone, not just hardcore enthusiasts.
I'm sure it's what we'll talk about sometime down the road. Ian Scherer from CNET, thanks very much today.
My pleasure.
You're listening to The Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. You're listening to the Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Steve Bertrand in on this Thursday afternoon. Wait a minute. Here's Elise Glink. Elise, welcome to the program.
Hey, Steve. Nice to be here.
Are you just warming up your chair for tomorrow? Is that what this is about?
I am. I am just getting here to try and step in your big shoes. Doesn't always work so well, though. We'll see.
Oh, no. You're welcome in my shoes any day of the week. So I'm off tomorrow. Elise will be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
And talk to some of the regular players. I think Andrea Haynes from Blue Sky in
yep.
Innovation. And
she's just great. I had a chance to work with her last year when we were planning a conference for the Society of American Business Editors and Writers, and we did a whole bunch of stuff on tech and digital in Chicago. She was just great about it.
You know, it's funny because I'm a homework guy, so I don't have really passion about. So with this job, I'm assigned a lot of homework, and I'm learning a lot about the tech industry in Chicago and through Blue Sky and all of that. And I really enjoy that because it's not the sort of thing I would have picked up in maybe on my own sometimes. But through Andrea's work and her staff at Blue Sky Innovation, I'm learning quite a bit.
Yeah, it's amazing how technology has just kind of brought so many jobs here to Chicago. I mean, we're looking at 66, 70,000 jobs being created in a city that's actually seeing quite a bit of layoffs. And we were going to talk a little bit about this today, the Chicago State craziness. I don't even know what word to say. They sent out layoff announcements to 900 people today.
One more point, though, before we get there is, you know, our erstwhile producer, Michael Heidemann, who is with the program now, is a younger man, and I've tried to explain to him that there were 25 years ago I thought of starting my own business, and when I did, it was like, well, what franchise could I sign up for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just we have changed. This culture has changed so much about fostering sort of new businesses, and it's really a remarkable thing.
It's a great time to be an entrepreneur, and I, as you know, because we've talked about it on the show, I'm in the process of starting my fourth company.
Right.
And it gets easier and easier every time.
Right. So I think next week I'll start to be a customer at another new company.
Okay.
That's
that would be good. Can you be my number one? You can be my number one customer.
All right. So let's talk about layoffs,
sure.
Especially Chicago State. Now, this is a state budget fix, right?
Yeah, this is the fact that we haven't had a budget in this state for, I don't know, these many year and a half or whatever craziness.
We're not going to have one. We're not going to get one.
No, we're going to be the only state in the union that never has a budget. And so consequently, when you look at nonprofits that are starting to lay off people, you've got Chicago State University with 900 people. They've shortened their semester, canceled spring break. Sorry, kids. But if you want to graduate, this is going to be the only way. But we've also seen Boeing is cutting people, McDonald's. I heard they may be shutting their campus and moving downtown.
Yeah,
what is that craziness? So,
have you been out there before?
I have.
It's
beautiful. Beautiful. Golf course, lovely.
Right.
So what does this all mean? You know, this talk of layoffs, we had the numbers come out this week. There were 48,000 job cuts this month, up about a third year over year. So that's not so good. Down 21% from February. That's on a national basis. So we saw a huge number of job cuts announced January and February. Everybody was real surprised.
Sure.
And the number overall, the unemployment number is still 4.9%. So that's good. So what's really going on here?
Well, you tell me. I mean, how does that jibe? Well, you know, the jobless number is good and good and good, but the layoffs are going up as well.
Yeah, I think we have to watch what's going on with Wall Street, right? So what happens with Wall Street after you've had a great year, which everybody had last year, is that you've got to beat those numbers, beat the street, right?
Right.
I think there's a little bit of this, let's cut people to jigger our profits so they're up over
next year. At least I hate that.
I hate it too, right?
I mean, as a guy who's not a business guy and watching this and this chasing the Wall Street number and improving the stock price at the expense of people or research, it just drives me crazy.
Yeah, you know, there are companies out there that are internet-based and they're digital, they're big companies, and every dollar they spend in marketing, they earn a dollar two. Now, you should, or dollar three, you should take that deal every day of the week,
right?
You can get 2-3% just from doing something electronically. You would do that, and yet we're watching companies cut those marketing budgets, even though they're profit-making, in order to reduce expenses. And you, at some point in time, you can't cut your way to profitability anymore.
Well, could you ever? Could you ever cut your way to prosperity?
I think there was a time when there was more fat in the system. Before the productivity,
okay,
there were too many people. And I think they were with technology gains able to improve that productivity. But at some point in time, it's a, you know, it's a losing game.
That's Elise Glink. She will be here tomorrow hosting the Business Lunch. Thanks very much for coming in today. I appreciate it.
You bet, anytime.
You're listening to 720 WGN.